I've never heard you quieter before a service begins. Welcome. It's delightful to see all of you. We will soon begin our worship service, but first, a few words beyond our greeting of pointing you to upcoming opportunities, including some for today. And I'd like to begin by a celebrative word of welcome to Iris Martin, who is here today. Iris just turned 102. She is by far our longest. Yep. Our longest term member by far, baptized in this room at age 4. Do the math. Iris, it's wonderful to have you here. Fantastic. Today is Campus Ministry Sunday at our church. We love the opportunity of ministering to and with university and college students here. And some of them are going to be helping to lead our service today. Following in the fellowship hall, we'll be celebrating them as well. And there is, as everyone would expect, a cake. Following that, in our second hour period today, there will be a report from the Terra Blanca Nicaragua mission team, recently back from their work that we happily sent them on. Some of them also will be helping to lead in this service today. Please stay, if you're able, in the fellowship hall for the good news that they will share. Next Sunday, during second hour, I will be making a presentation called The Bible and Sexual Orientation / Identity. That will probably happen in this room. It is for all youth and adults who can be here. We invite you to stay if possible. This is the beginning of a series of conversations that we are going to be having about the church's relationship with the LGBT community, and we hope that you can be part of that. Read your newsletter this week for details on those upcoming conversations. We're putting together a photo directory these days and coming to a finish point. We want to make sure all information is correct and to make sure that you and your information are listed correctly. We have Kat Becker, our administrator, downstairs to meet you after the service for you to check what's written there, see if it's right or not right, and correct it as you need to. Funny kid.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, gee. Good morning, everyone. There you go. There's usually a lot of noise in here, so that's good. Hey. So I just wanted to share a couple of words with you. Over the past few weeks during Lent, you have heard your choir singing a few movements from the 4A Requiem. And I just wanted to tell you, there's going to be another movement sung during the offertory. this Requiem Mass that we've been working on, and we do promise, we will perform the whole thing for you. We just haven't put the whole thing together and the timing yet. But this is a shorter Requiem Mass than they normally are. They're usually longer. And the movement that you're going to hear during the offertory, the Pia Jesu, replaces a typical movement in a Requiem Mass called the Dies Irae, which is the Day of Judgment and Day of Wrath. And Gabriel Fauré, French composer in the late 1800s, decided to take that particular text out and replace it with the Pia Jesu, which is, Blessed Jesus, grant us eternal rest. So I just wanted you to know that this has had a plan, and the choir, I think, has enjoyed learning some of the 4A Requiem and will enjoy doing the whole thing for you at some point in our future. So thank you.
Yeah. And now with expectancy and hope, we open our minds, we open our hearts, we open our lives to receive the fresh word of the Holy Spirit, to offer ourselves in reply, to lift up our praise and to offer ourselves. Let us worship.
Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you have brought us here today. We gladly surrender our lives to you in worship and praise. As we meet now, may we behold your beauty and encounter your grace. Equip us, comfort us, teach us. Inspire and challenge us as we learn more about your heart for your people. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, how pleasant it is when the people dwell together in unity.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that flows down the beard, Aaron's beard, running down over the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion.
There the Lord ordains his blessing, life forevermore.
Reading from the book of Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord.
Lord, we come, Spirit of God, Spirit descending, was for us a nation's sake.
Please pray with me. Lord God, our teacher and creator, who has given us this day and brought us together, we are so grateful for all the experiences and opportunities you have provided us with. We thank you for our voices, which you have given us so that we may speak your word and teach one another of your amazing blessings. We thank you for our bodies that allow us to listen to your teachings and to follow your path through service so that we may honor you. We thank you for our hearts that you have filled with hope, mercy, and compassion so that we may spread this powerful love to one another. God, we ask that you bless others with some of the many gifts that we ourselves have taken for granted. We pray for the people in our world living in poverty who might feel hopeless or forgotten. We pray for those who do not have access to a necessity as simple as clean water. And we pray for the vulnerable communities in Nicaragua, including the villages that some of us have worked with, Nandazmo, El Coyol, La Danta, and Tierra Blanca. We lift them up to you and ask that you keep their people safe and continue to bless them. We also pray for those serving at AMIS, who are devoting their lives to your work, and we ask that you would watch over them as well. God, we thank you for always listening to our prayers. And so we pray now for those whom we know to pray. Jean Evie, Stacy Simpson Duke, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Murphy Stumpf, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Will Healy, Kim and Jason Weaver, Jim Terrace, Sandy Nichols, Charlie Walker, Richard Bates, Mary Presser family, Nina Joan, Aaron Cebulski, Thea DeGroot, Bill, Matt, Valerie Nebbia, David, Saw Nay Lin. Now we offer to you our prayers in silence. God, please continue to work through us and to mold us into your faithful disciples. Let every word we speak, sing, or whisper spread your message. Allow our persevering bodies to do justice by following you, and help our hearts to overflow with your love so that we can better ourselves and our world in your name. Gracious God, we lift these prayers to you. Amen.
The New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. The word of the Lord.
One of my mother's favorite hymns is His Eyes on the Sparrow. She's a singer and a pianist.
Thank you so much, Chance. I'm now pleased to call the children forward for time as children. It's good to worship together. Ooh, thank you, Chance. So we've been hearing a little bit about Nicaragua in Christina's prayer that she so wonderfully prayed with us, led us in. And we're going to hear a little bit more about Nicaragua. I went on the trip, and Miss Kathy went on the trip, and these guys sitting here went on the trip. There are a whole bunch of us that went on the trip today that are going to share a little something with you.
And so for our time together, I wanted to share with you something I realized when I was down there. I thought, you know what? The kiddos in Tierra Blanca have so much in common with the kiddos at church. That's what I started to think. So I saw this picture. I thought we could look at this. The kiddos in Tierra Blanca do what? What are they doing? Can you tell? They go to church. They're going to church. Yeah. And there's this one. Can you tell what's happening here? Yeah, you can pass it around. Can you tell what's happening here? Kids are in a circle, and I'm doing something. Can you make a guess? Avery. What do you think I might be doing with kids sitting in a circle? Oh, I might be telling them a story. Yeah, a Bible story. Yeah, so we did Bible stories. Look at this. You guys do this. We do this together all the time. Crafts. Look at Marissa there in the middle of all that tissue paper and glue sticks. Yeah, so they do crafts. They have fun. Oh, I wonder if you can tell what this is. Can you tell what's happening here? Oh, you can scoot closer if you need to. Oh, it looks like a campfire. We did have campfires. Duck, duck, goose. In Spanish, pato, pato, ganso. Yeah, we played duck, duck, goose. Oh, the kids laughed. What do we call this, Kathy? Steamroller or something. We noticed the kids were learning in school, and they had a little break to do steamroller. Super fun. Laughing. The kiddos in Nicaragua laugh just like you. Oh, look at this one. What are the kids doing here? These are the teenagers. What are the teenagers doing? Asher. Playing a song. Playing instruments. Singing. Despacito. Yeah, you guys know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's another picture. These are all the kids raising their hands. They have prayer bracelets on, friendship bracelets that we made in honor of Stacy, praying for Stacy. We shared them with our friends there thanks to Miss Nancy. And then, oh, look at this one. Do you see McCully? This is who's sitting over here. Look at kiddos in Nicaragua love to take selfies too. Yeah, just like we do. Yeah, McCully likes selfies too. And look at this. They also like to look at cell phones. Maybe at pictures of themselves on the phone. Do you like to do that? Yeah, or play a game. I think they might have been playing a game with Miss Nancy in this one. So, lots in common. Look at, here's their school. This is the school where they went. Just like you, they go to school too and learn. So much in common about the kiddos here at church and the kiddos in Tierra Blanca that we met. And then there are parts of life in Nicaragua. Our things that we do here are much harder in Nicaragua. And you heard us talking about that. You heard Christina praying about that, about water. That water is different. So I want to show you some pictures of how it's different in Nicaragua. Do you know what this is? Who knows what this is? Yeah, this is the toilet, the latrine. Yeah. Does it look like yours? No, it looks very different. Can you tell what's happening in this picture? This is also something different that's happening in Nicaragua, in Tierra Blanca, than happens here. Asher, yeah, washing hands. Do you see how they're washing hands? How are washing hands? Using a bucket with water. Yeah, that's different too. And then this is the last picture I'd like to share with you. This is what we did together, water filters. You're used to going into your kitchen or your bathroom and turning on the water. And when you turn on the water in your kitchen, it's safe to drink. This is what we did. We brought these buckets and we put them together to make a water filter. And it cleans the water that they get from the well. Life related to water is much harder in Nicaragua than it is here. And when we were all there, we were thinking about that. And then when we got home here, we felt kind of funky, trying to get used to life back here and thinking about the things we had. And I was thinking that, you know what? Something that we can do when we think about our water is to pray a really simple but profound, important prayer. Will you repeat after me? God, give us grateful and generous hearts. Okay, let's say it all together. Can we say it all together? God, give us grateful and generous hearts. I want to pray it two more times. And we're going to ask the grown-ups to join us. God, give us grateful and generous hearts. Here we go. God, give us grateful and generous hearts. One more time. God, give us grateful and generous hearts. Yeah, amen. Before we finish our time together, though, we would like to sing one of our favorite songs that we sang in Nicaragua with the kiddos at Vacation Bible School, and it has some parts. So I need to have the kids divide into two groups. This group, you're going to go over here, and you're going to sing with Macaulay and Miss Kathy. And this group, you guys are going to sing over here with me, and maybe Miss Stacy will join us. And then the congregation, adults, you have a really important job. Yours is ya. That's the part you're going to have. It's going to go like this. We're going to sing, Allelu, 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 Allelu.
Ya.
Oh, good. And these guys are going to sing, Gloria a Dios. Asher's remembering the English. We're going to sing it in Spanish. Gloria a Dios. Let me say, Gloria a Dios, Alleluia.
Yeah.
Gloria a Dios, Alleluia.
Yeah.
Gloria a Dios,
Alleluia. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we all sing, Gloria a Dios. But kids, you have to stand up when it's your part. Okay? Complicated, but so much fun. Grown-ups, are you ready for the ya? Okay, well, I'll point at you when it's your turn. Okay. So thank you, God. God, give us grateful and generous hearts. Amen.
Pray with me. Lord, in these moments, open our hearts to your Spirit in our midst. Help us hear again your call to purpose, to meaning, to faith, justice, love, and kindness. And help us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Transcendentalist philosopher and writer Henry David Thoreau believed that walking could be a self-reflective, spiritual act that must take place away from society, where we could uncover who we really are. We know that the physical act of walking literally takes us forward from one place to another. But on other levels, walking can transform us from one place to another as well. In Thoreau's famous essay, Walking, which he also delivered as a lecture 10 different times, he wrote,
"You must walk like a camel, which is said to be the only beast which ruminates while walking." Now, we know how to text while walking. We know how to listen to our earbuds while walking. Do you know how to think while you're walking? Christian theologian Soren Kierkegaard also extolled the importance, the value of walking when he wrote, "Above all, do not lose your desire to walk. Every day," he said, "I walk myself into a state of well-being. I have walked myself into my best thoughts." Isn't that lovely? I'm captivated by the notion of walking oneself into a state of well-being, especially because the concept of well-being is such a faith concept. Shalom. Well-being is about more than the physical. It's about the emotional. It's about the spiritual. It's about the relational. It's about the global. When our mission teams go to Nicaragua to work with Amos, walking is a huge part of that work. Transportation challenges mean that walking is often the best and sometimes the only way to get from one place to the next. And in my own experience, the walking that happens in Nicaragua is very much an act of moving towards well-being on multiple levels. Team members walk from house to house with community members to install water filters, to check on people's health, to build relationships, to serve. This is all in support of the well-being of the whole community. But there's also the well-being that happens because of the kinds of conversations that team members and community members can have when they're on a long walk together, with no cell phones, no busy streets to cross, just each other and the wide open world. The self-reflective spiritual element that Thoreau noted is available for anyone willing to walk and think. A long, long time ago in Israel, during a time of great instability and change, during a time when the rich and powerful exploited the vulnerable, actively increasing political and economic inequality. A time when the religious people used the language of religion not to help the poor and dispossessed, but to make themselves look good. There was a man named Micah who called the people back to true well-being. And part of what he said was, "God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" This verse has been a core verse in the life of our congregation. It's part of our logo. We've printed it on banners. We say it as part of our benediction most Sundays. For our church, these are three inseparable, non-negotiable dimensions of our great shared calling: justice, kindness, and the spiritual journey or walk. These three elements move us, or invite us to move, in all directions in a holistic, life-giving way of well-being. Towards the world with justice and service. Towards each other with kindness and community, and towards God with humility and ongoing learning and transformation. The thing about walking is that you can learn, grow, and be changed no matter where that walk happens or where it physically takes you. The walk of well-being can happen in a remote village in Nicaragua, but it can also happen on the streets of Ann Arbor. This morning, we get to hear a little bit from three members of our Tierra Blanca mission team as they invite us to walk with them in their journey towards justice in Nicaragua. But as you listen, I invite you to consider this question too. How is God calling you towards justice, kindness, and the spiritual life right where you are?
Good morning. Thank you for walking with us on this trip to Nicaragua. And even though we were the faces that they saw, they knew that you were behind us and supporting us and praying for us. And we thank you so much for that. This trip was life-changing for me. It was humbling to visit the places in Nicaragua that Emily and Ethan have become so endeared to. To live among the poorest people in the world changes you. It's not about how much we have and what they don't have. It's about honoring the way, it's about honoring the way they live. Helping people who have asked for help just makes you want to do the best job you can do ever. It's a way of elevating your purpose in life. AMOS is a wonderful organization that seeks to bring the basic needs in life to the people in Nicaragua: clean water, healthy babies, and basic nutrition. We show God's love for us by sharing it with them, and we are blessed. As a result of this trip, I'm committed to supporting our church's relationship with AMOS in whatever way possible. Maybe it's partnering with Alex on the dental program, or maybe it's leading a group of older adults from our church to participate in an urban project with AMOS. So I challenge you this morning to think about how you might invest your gifts, whatever they are, to promote health in the second poorest country in the world and in our own community. The things that excite us are not random. They are connected to our purpose. Follow them.
The experience in Tierra Blanca was enlightening. Just to give you an idea of my deep response to it, next year I'm committed to taking my entire family back. Teodora, my wife, Katerina, Alexandra, my kids, with one goal: to spread smiles in Nicaragua. Let me explain. As you know, Teodora and I are a dental school faculty here at UMich. And we are now trying to help AMOS with their wonderful initiative to provide preventive and dental care to vulnerable families in Nicaragua, including children and pregnant women. It is not for the lack of a smile there in Nicaragua. During this past mission, our church group was received with multiple welcoming smiles from the AMOS staff, the community, and even the animals. I mean, it was impressive. Everyone was kind-hearted, generous, and didn't transpire the harsh struggles they had to face every day. Can you believe many lacking the most basic needs? Filtered water, sewer system, and electricity. Nevertheless, not only they always had the pleasant expression their face when interact with us, they were many times singing and dancing after a long journey of work with the group. Preparing, delivering filters, and fixing the health center in the remote village of Tierra Blanca. What a great opportunity to exercise our Christian faith and extend our hands to and souls to brothers and sisters in need. I missed my family during that time, but I found another one, the church group. Was exceptional. Marisa, Macaulay, Annie, Christina, Ethan, Nancy, Kathy, Elder, and Zen, or better, Alejandra, as called by the locals. They're all leaders for the good. We loved, we prayed together, we worked, we danced, we listened. They sang. I'm a terrible singer. I left that part for them. I didn't want to hurt the people from Nicaragua. This team created a lasting impact on the village and on my faith. I love them all, and I hope that my kids see them as great example of individuals to emulate. Together, we deliver water filters to dozens of families, which reminded me of religious importance of water for my family back in Brazil during my entire young life. At that time, my mother, who was born by the Amazon River, raised us with strong Christian faith. Every night, exactly at 6 p.m., every night, she would go to her bedroom and listen to the church radio station. The sermon would always start with Ave Maria von Schubert, and with my brothers and father, we would be in completely silence in the house, and my mother was kneeling and praying with a cup of fresh water by the radio. At the end of the sermon, she would stand up, share with the same cup, each one of us. Sometimes we'd line up, the big guys. My mother was short, but we all drink that now, blessed water. That water had the power to alleviate our thirst, but worries and renovate our spirits. So let's spread the smiles, water, and prayers and kindness to our families, friends, and those in need, being them in Nicaragua, Ann Arbor, or any other place in the world with our Christian faith. Amen.
During our journey to Tierra Blanca, Amos helped us hold two community movie nights. Just before dinner, we set up a giant screen against a tree, and after dinner, we readied a speaker and a projector with just minor technical difficulties. We set up a DVD to play a movie in Spanish with English subtitles. Two Amos vehicles traveled up the main dirt road to pick up families. One truck went in one direction, and one went in the other direction. We congregated in the few chairs we had dragged over from the nearby school. But as people arrived by foot and by truck, we soon ran out of seats. The majority of the community, more than 150 people, had joined us. We put a tarp down on the ground, and all the little kids rushed onto it. We started the movie, and Ethan and Eldie gave out popcorn and juice to the kids. Zan, Christina, Anjali, McCauley, and I passed out glow bracelets to everyone, even the adults. We were there for a common purpose. We invested in the movie as individuals, as a community, and as new friends. After the movie had finished, people started to stand up. The Amos drivers stretched as they knew they had to get going to drop people off at their homes. But everyone was a little hesitant to get going. Lagging behind a bit, waiting, and suddenly someone put on some music, and soon everyone was on their feet, dancing and laughing. Us gringos, the Amos staff, and the people of Tierra Blanca sharing, holding on to this moment of community, dancing to Latin music, investing in each other. We danced with Jackson, one of our community guides, and all of his friends. We danced with the little girls who lived right nearby, who get monthly visits from Yadira, Tierra Blanca's health promoter, because they are under 5 years old. I had helped install a water filter in their house earlier that day. This bridge between dancing and healthcare, this is community organization. This is the work of God's kingdom. This is doing justice. Amos is one of the most just, well-run, respectful, smart, and sustainable organizations I've ever witnessed. Their staff work with community-based, evidence-based, partnership-based models. They do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with communities, volunteers, and each other. They treat people with dignity, empower local leaders, and ensure advances in rural health care for the community, by the community. I am so grateful to announce that in collaboration with Amos and with this church, I will be journeying down to Nicaragua in September to volunteer on the development and communications team at Amos for a year. I love fundraising and I love Amos. I am proud of the fundraising talents I've uncovered so far, and I can't wait to invest them to help raise money for Amos's mission. Spending a year in another country is a big investment for me, personally and professionally, but I believe that for us to make progress, we have to leap or be thrown out of our comfort zones. I am nervous, as is my mother, obviously, but mostly I am excited and I am grateful to make this leap. But this trip is not just about me. This year of service revolves around a three-way partnership with me, with Amos, and with you all. This three-way partnership is how it began. So many of you have walked with me to Amos already. You've donated in support of our projects, you've read about our work, watched a recap video, or seen pictures. 37 of you have traveled alongside me. I wouldn't be willing and able to make this commitment without the encouragement and support from so many of you. This three-way partnership is how it will continue. So many of you will walk with me to Amos this time around. You've helped me uncover my talents, you've worked alongside me, and you'll be with me in mind and spirit on the road ahead. For the sake of this three-way partnership, I will be keeping in touch, posting photos about my experience, writing to you all about Amos's work, and occasionally even flying back to Ann Arbor to update you in person. I will also be setting up a fundraising page to cover my living expenses while I'm there. So if you'd like to invest your gifts in helping people by supporting my journey, you will have an opportunity to do so. I am grateful for you, and especially for Stacy, Zan, my family, everyone with whom I've traveled across our four Amos delegations, and my friends at Amos, for walking together with me to make this three-way partnership a reality. When we danced together after our community movie night, we seized an opportunity. We took a gift that was given to us, the gift of cultural exchange, the scene of God's kingdom at work, and we invested in it. The next day, while helping install a water filter in her home, we heard from a mother that she loved watching all the dancing, and she wanted us to dance with her at the second movie night that was going to occur that night. We built community through the simple act of dancing together. And that moment of community, that piece of God's kingdom, will help people. It has already helped people. It has re-energized the community members to support Yadira, their health promoter. It will continue to mobilize work to improve the health of the many generations of people in Tierra Blanca. It will elevate our communal purpose, and it will help do justice in our world. When dance parties can lead to improving rural health, change in our world can start with us. God, give us grateful and generous hearts for us to care. Now, more than ever, this is what our world needs. To use our positions of privilege to serve the most vulnerable people, to advocate for oppressed groups, to work towards equity. His eyes on the sparrow, and ours should be too. So I invite you to invest your gifts, your time, your energy, your talents, your finances, to illuminate, awaken, and elevate your purpose, to elevate our purpose, to walk humbly and work towards a common goal, to be welcoming and affirming of all people, to watch movies together, to dance together, to laugh, and to be in community, to love kindness, to uplift others, be it your family, your friends, your communities, and to help do justice in our world.
Well, I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to me. And I think another round of applause for all three of them. This is so exciting to me on so many levels. These spring break trips to Nicaragua started 3 years ago with a grant for our campus ministry program to do this kind of trip in collaboration with our church. But it started with campus ministry and was intended to be an intergenerational, cross-generational kind of event, which it very much has become. It's one of the great secrets of the church is that one of the ways we are countercultural in our world is the fact that we are truly an intergenerational community. And at our best, we're an intergenerational mentoring community. And you've heard a little bit this morning about how across generations, people have spurred each other on, both on this trip and within our church community, as well as across generations caught new visions of their purpose in this world. It was so exciting to hear about Nancy, a retired nurse, thinking of a future trip with other retired people to do new things in Amos. You'll hear a little more this morning, I hope, from Alex, a dental professor, about some exciting dental initiatives that he's been working with Amos on. And then, of course, we have our... We call her, she's going to be a volunteer, but you know the real word for what she's going to be is missionary. And we're going to be sending our missionary to work with Amos later this year. One of the words that we use in the church for purpose is calling. What is God calling you to do? And you can see that has a lot of variety. What is your calling? What is your purpose? It connects to what your passions and your gifts are. When I was a young adult, I used to think that God's purpose in my life was like a multiple choice question. There was one right answer and a lot of wrong ones, and it was going to be easy to miss it. And then I had my first encounter with Micah 6:8, and it totally changed everything for me. I came to understand God's purpose, God's calling in my life, not as a multiple choice question, but as an essay where the thesis statement had already been given, and the rest was the details of my passion, my gifts, and where that intersected with the needs that I encountered. And you know what the thesis is. God has shown you what to do. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with your God. When we respond to God's calling, we respond with everything we are and everything we have, and now we have opportunity to make that offering in a particular way now.
Thank you. This table is for everyone, and Christ invites all to receive. As we prepare to receive this meal, let us pray together our prayer of confession. Let's pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Please stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and by your Spirit make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Offering plates will be at the door. The offering this month is for our fellowship fund, monies that we are able to use, thanks to the church's generosity, to help people who are in material need and who come our way in need of assistance. Let's stand and sing our hymn of fellowship.
seated. And before receiving the benediction, one last thing, not a little thing either. We have one graduate to recognize today. This is Haley Heaton. She's been a part of our church for 6 years, 5 years. She's a church member, she's a choir member, she's a member of the gathering, and most recently is confirmed with her PhD. She had her defense on Friday afternoon with the linguistics. She's in the linguistics.